You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Good morning, wife.
Good morning, husband.
Don't ask me.
Mrs. Gray, look out your window.
What you know is true.
I'm taking you away for the weekend.
I just can't believe this is my life, that I get to live with you.
Oh, I love your precious heart.
It meant nothing to me before you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am Kel Smith, the host and creator of the Youth Critic Podcast. And with me today is Patrick Campbell.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Kale, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And we also have Mike Messina.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, thanks for having me back. I'm excited.
All right. And this week we are going to be talking about, really, this President Day weekend's releases, 50 Shades Darker, Lego Batman Movie, and John Wick 2. Just to kind of throw a random question out, why, to all of you, why was this weekend so huge? Why was this weekend just so jammed with all these big releases? Because really, I'm looking at the next couple of weeks, and other than A Cure for Wellness, there's not really that many blockbusters until Logan comes out. So why do you guys think this weekend was so huge?
I think that the studios have started to learn over the last couple of years that February is actually a real hot ground to start the year off. It started a little bit, with like Die Hard and Kingsman, that we were seeing, hey, you can really make money here. And then Lego Batman as well, because you kind of opened to this time where
there's movie.
A lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Huge. And so for the studios, especially because they're packing so much stuff into every month now, starting in February makes a lot of sense to just try to get a little bit of money and get a head start on the year, especially when, you know, there's a lot of competition just around the corner in March. March is one of the most jam-packed months of the year, and I'm a little worried about some of the releases.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely started right after, if not already, in Lego Batman, or Lego Movie came out like 3 years ago. And then you had RoboCop, which wasn't a huge hit, but it still did okay. And then, you know, for years going on, and then we had 50 Shades of Grey, and then Kingsman. And then last year we got the big success of Deadpool. And of course, I think that's kind of because of those successes. I think the studio was really happy to finally have a new place, because really summer is getting too huge. Patrick, you made a good point that the March is just getting too crammed. So I think now people are just trying to make something out of the dead months of the year. And so now we have this whole, President's Day weekend as like the big weekend. And actually, looking ahead at next weekend, it's just as, or next, this weekend again, next year, not only do we have 50 Shades Freed, but we also have the Shane Black's Predator movie and another Warner Brothers animated group film, along with the following weekend after that, Black Panther. So February is becoming really, really huge.
I think it's a result of, you know, how over the last few years, everyone has been talking about how the summer movie season is expanding and slowly going up to, you know, went up to May and then to April and then to March. And I think now we're just really up to February, and pretty soon it's just going to be like, just expect big movies all the time, really. Because after this, they're probably going to go into the months like August and September as well, because obviously big movies come out in November and December already. So I think it's just going to be a thing where you're just trying to find your spot. You know, you want to find your a good spot to make a lot of money. And if you can find it, then that's just the way things are going to be now, which is good.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So now let's move on to the first movie we're going to talk about, which is 50 Shades Darker.
Yay.
So none of you guys saw the movie, or you guys were pretty fortunate. What's funny is, I'll say this about 50 Shades Darker. It's slightly better because I didn't fall asleep.
That's the best. They should put that on the poster. Like, the quote on the bottom should be, "It's a little bit better. I didn't fall asleep." Kale Smith. Like, that's the poster quote, because that is perfect. Because I cannot believe you sat through this, man. Like, the first one was bad enough. It really was.
It's so boring.
I'll say this about the first one. I really like the soundtrack. And some of the cinematography is really nice, actually. I really like some of the cinematography.
You can't go wrong with Ellie Goulding.
Right, that's true. Ellie Goulding's really good in The Weeknd. And another thing. Okay, the script is just atrocious. It's just atrocious. And somehow Dakota Johnson is able to do okay with some of the stuff she's given. Like, it's terrible. Like, it's terrible. And Jamie Dornan, I think he's a good actor, too. But they're both good actors, actually. Johnson and Jamie Dornan are both good actors. And
from what I hear, they are.
Yeah, it's not. Well, have you not seen anything that you like them in, or?
I think the only thing I've seen Dakota in is, I think she was in a small role in 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, she's fantastic in that, like, 5 minutes she's in it.
Yeah, and then I have not seen anything else with Jamie Dornan, because I don't watch The Fall or Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
So, but here, the acting is so soap opera-ish.
Right.
I mean, at least they pretend to actually want to fuck this time. Oh, Patrick, I forgot to tell you, we do curse on the show. I forgot to tell you that.
So, real quick then, can we fucking pretend that these people do not, like, that they actually have chemistry? Because they don't. It's freaking
Yeah, horrible. I mean, they pretend to like to be fucked, but that's about it. I mean, they have no chemistry, and even the characters are out of sync, because the movie tries so hard to make her the strong, independent person, or I should say Anastasia Steele. But the thing about Christian Grey is that he is such an asshole, and he dominates her, and he controls everything she does. I mean, he literally buys the company that she works at. He gives her some dollars just off of a phlegm. I mean, it's like, it's more of a, he owns her. I mean, he really does own her. But you're not going to believe this. But that's the least of these movies' problems.
Jesus Christ.
It's so horrible. I mean, every conflict in this movie gets solved every 5 fucking minutes. I mean, literally, something gets brought up. And who is played by Kim Basinger, or as the movie likes to call her, Helena. She is brought in to basically tell Anna that, you know, you can't stop him from being, you know, this person. You can't. I did this to him so he won't be, you know, such an asshole. And I'm like, and then that never goes anywhere. And then it gets really, it never goes anywhere.
Is her name really Mrs. Robinson? Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? Like, do they play Simon and Garfunkel and try to, this is not The Graduate. They need to pretend this is not. This is Twilight fan fiction at best on the big screen.
That's what the characters call her the most, even though her real name is Helena or Elena. I can't remember. I can't remember half these characters' names because they're so bland. And to make it even worse, not all these characters are horrible people. They are all horrible beings. They all deserve to fucking die. They all are horrible people. Her Miss Robinson tries to I'm just calling her that. Even the characters call her that, even though her real name is Helena or Elena. I can't remember. Damn it. Miss Robinson tries to justify her actions by saying that she saved him from his mental torture by seducing him as a teenager. And then Miss Robinson is friends with Christian's mom. And then her boss is a horrible human being because he wants to fuck her. By the way, every man in this movie is just Anna. Every male not only wants to fuck her, but they want to almost like rape her. Like really, oh, no. Christian Grey is really the only person, only male in this movie, except maybe the bodyguards that get maybe one or two lines. Sexually torture Anna. I mean, literally,
I was gonna say, all Patrick? I get from this is that like Yellow James, the lady who wrote this, is twisted in her head, and that she made her husband write this movie because she didn't like how the first one turned out is so friggin' sad. And it's like she thinks that she's written something that like beautiful and moving and touching. No, it's garbage. This is 50 Shades of Garbage, darker, whatever you want to call it. This sounds horrible. How did you sit through this?
Is it kind of funny? That's my question. Is it kind of like funny? Like, is it worth it because it's funny?
The first 20 minutes are fucking hilarious.
Okay.
There's a quote or a line in the movie about kinky fuckery. I think the quote is, and I'm kind of paraphrasing because I don't remember the full quote, but the quote is, I think it is, here I am trying to be romantic and you just come along with your kinky fuckery. And I really just put my hands over my mouth to be like, holy shit. Holy shit. This movie just went to batshit insane. It's the way this movie is plotted. Have you guys seen Tommy Wiseau's The Room?
Mm. Oh, yes. The best, worst movie ever.
Yeah, it's literally plotted like that, where things happen and then things of conflict happen and then nothing is really of any consequence. I mean, there's really nothing about this movie. There's nothing to these movies. And what's even sad is they left a couple things open just so there could be a third movie. I mean, really, there's nothing. I really just walked out of the sequel going, so another two-hour movie that's going to come out of this franchise?
Well, here's the question. I honestly don't even know what it's about. How is it different than the first one is my question.
Isn't there – this one has – I guess that what's the 50 Shades of Fucked Up, dude? It got a stalker ex-girlfriend or something.
Right, like the girl who made him, like, introduced him to that. I know that. Is that really the plot of it, though?
No. So there's the Kim Basinger character who's the one who introduced him. Jesus Christ, I know way too much about this shit, and I haven't seen it. So this – one, the older one is the one who made him, but then there's this like crazy stalker girl.
Okay.
A younger one.
Oh, yeah. Layla.
Yeah. That Layla. One. So all these characters are terrible, apparently, as Kale has given us. And that's really what the story is like Anastasia wants nothing to do with him. And then he's like, no, we'll have a normal relationship. So she comes back and then these people come into her life and she's being stalked by the crazy girl and being threatened by the other one. But it doesn't sound like any of that actually matters. And I can't believe the dude who directed Glenn Ross made this. Like, how the mighty have fallen.
Jesus. Well, to be fair, that's the only good movie he's ever directed.
He also directed House of Cards.
To be fair.
House of Cards.
Again, that's television, not film.
No. We can't do that because Robert Rodriguez has done TV too, and so is Tarantino. We can't just discount their greatness.
Fine. Okay. So let me ask. Well, so do you have any other questions? Oh, before you ask, I have to talk about the helicopter scene that's in all the trailers.
Oh Jesus!
Half of it's not even in the fucking movie. Half of it is not even in the fucking film. You see the scene where someone is trying to, do you remember the part in the trailer? It's a very quick, like 3-second flash. But it's very obvious that someone's trying to shoot down the plane, the helicopter in the movie. It's not in the movie.
I don't remember.
The helicopter just has like a malfunction, and they kind of crash, and they sort of crash, and this is a perfect example of how this movie is plotted. Everyone finds out, including Anna, that Christian was in a helicopter crash, and then they're all sitting at his apartment in a whole other state where the accident actually happened.
What?
The accident was in Portland, Oregon, and they're in Seattle, Washington.
Right.
And
she's from Portland, right? Like her hometown is Portland, and then she moves.
No, she's from Georgia.
She's from Georgia?
I think.
Like in the first one,
her mom was in Georgia.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh,
she visits her first mom in Georgia.
But she's living in Portland, right? And then she goes up to see him in Seattle. Oh.
She lived in Seattle.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that, I know she goes up to Seattle because that's where his company is and where he lives. I was thinking she lived in Portland. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm asking.
Jesus Christ. Why does everything bad happen in Seattle?
What?
I mean, every bad movie is in Seattle.
Every bad movie is in Seattle?
The Twilight movies?
They don't take place in Seattle.
You're right.
But
yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Sleepless in Seattle is a bad movie, you monsters.
No, that's a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I was saying I love that movie.
Anyway, the helicopter scene ends. They're watching the TV, and then literally moments after it's announced that he had survived and they found the wreckage, he walks in with his coat.
Jesus.
He literally walks in from an elevator. They're in his penthouse from a whole other fucking state where the crash was. And he just walks in, a little sweaty, maybe a little blood. And that's really it. I mean, it's like, wow.
Is it revealed he's like a superhero?
Dude, this is an umbrella.
I wish, Mike, if the third movie... But if they say in the third movie that he has planned everything to manipulate Anastasia, the helicopter crash, the Layla thing, if that's the twist in the third movie, then it wouldn't shock me. I mean, if he planned this whole thing.
I cannot.
It might be, because it might be a masterpiece of trash and shit. A trash masterpiece.
Trash masterpiece.
You know what the worst part about this is that Diego wants to watch this movie.
I know. I'm trying to get him to watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I got to watch it just to see.
I can't do it, you guys.
No. I got to do it.
I can't do it.
I've gone too far.
I've gotten to watch so many shitty movies over the past 5 years that I think that knowing these are bad just makes me go, you know what, man? I don't need to waste my time. I already have to sit through another Transformers this year.
I was just talking to Kale about the, like, you know how I used to see every movie, like every single one, and you guys used to joke around.
I see every movie or most movies.
You guys used to joke around like, why do you do this to yourself? And I don't know. I think a lot of us do that. Yeah, like you said, like we all keep like just seeing these movies, even though we know they're gonna be bad a lot of the time. But yeah, I don't do it like I used to, where I just used to see every single movie as much as I possibly could. Now I'm a little bit more selective.
I've had to learn to do that too, because there is so much stuff that comes out every year, and there is stuff that is so much better for like our time and is so much more demanding when you look at the things that come out. And like how many people saw in a Valley of Violence? None, like outside of us.
I didn't see that, so I don't.
You
one in the Valley of Violence?
Yeah, isn't that the one with Ethan Hawke? That came out last year that no one saw, and it's like a John Wick Western, essentially. Like, he's this guy with a past.
Oh, Ty West's new movie.
Yes, it's so good. And no one saw it. These are the kind of movies that should be vying for our time. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I kind of see the bigger films, good or bad, you know, people will watch them and anyway, like, but you know, last weekend I told Mike about this. I did a Westworld podcast just so I didn't have to talk about Rings or Nicholas Sparks in fucking space.
Yeah. And see, that's kind of what I get it. I fully get it. And I'm sitting here just like, wow. It's sad that this passes as entertainment, and it's real telling that this movie had like a 50% fall from this first one. This weekend.
I mean, that's what happens when you get crammed in with John Wick and Lego Batman, but yeah, but I agree.
I mean, like, John Wick may have taken some of the target audience just because it's got an R rating too, but I think that the 50% drop is not, I mean, that's a bad thing. And they waited too long to do this too. They waited, what, 2 years? This should have been out last year, and this should have been the third one this year, just if they had really, really wanted to capitalize on it. But that was on right.
Well, I think they took a 2 year break because everyone was so mad at each other after the first movie because of how the first one ended up. I mean, movie wise, not success, but movie wise, everyone was so mad at each other. And they also tried to figure out a way to make sure that, you know, if they did a second, third movie, they just did it all in like a matter of like 2 or 3 months or maybe longer. Maybe longer. Maybe the shoot was a little longer because it was 2 movies.
What's
but
the budget on these?
$55 million.
Whoa. Are you serious?
Yes.
Jesus, what is going?
Helicopters?
Well,
because I'm pretty sure like the first John Wick cost like $30 million.
It went 10,
and the second
20
one
million.
Yeah. And so the second one doubled its budget, and I think it was like closer to $40 million. And John 2 looks beautiful and amazing, and you can see where the money went in that movie. They went to Rome.
Patrick, let me explain something to you. Because the reason why they did it so cheaply and did it so great is because they cared, and they didn't want soap opera, and they know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's, and I guess inherently that's my problem with this franchise. If we can even call it that. It's just a shit show, really. But if we can call it a franchise, then let's call it a franchise. And we'll just sit here and there's no one has any idea what they're doing with this. You said it yourself. Like the writing is bad enough that like there's no rhyme or reason to how things happen. And when you have the husband of the author who wrote the books writing it because she wants total control, I don't even think he really wrote them. I'm pretty sure she did.
And wait, why is he a screenwriter?
I think he's a screenwriting professor.
Yeah, and he ended up in it because she said he had to. It was the only way that they would go forward.
It was in the contract.
If they did that, why didn't she just write it? Like,
that's what I mean. And
so she didn't get backlash or something. They thought that would take away like
maybe, but she caused such a shit show behind the scenes with this.
Yeah, I hope the person who made all the deals and contracts for Universal is fucking fired. Not, I really do. Like, it's like the way these contracts were all done. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, it's so unbelievable. Like,
yeah,
you know why it's this way?
I mean, it really was just what? Why?
Because they have Fast 8 coming out this year. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Their summer. Starting in April is going to be huge. Universal is going to have a good year. So 50 Shades is like a thing that they can just push to the side and go, yeah, it made us money. Like, let's just ignore it and get it out.
Universal have that's coming out other than this movie and
Jurassic.
Jurassic World next year.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like this year? You mean this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a few things, but Fast is like the big one. And Fast is going to a lot of money.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, for sure. Yeah,
it's almost. I think people are
good.
No, I think regardless, it's going to make a lot. Honestly, at this point,
yeah,
I mean, it'll make more if it's good. But
I mean, the last one made $1 billion, and that's not all Paul Walker effect. There's no way that was all Paul Walker effect. So Universal can have.
I mean, it had some, but yeah,
not enough that like the people in China, because it was the biggest movie in China. Remember that? Like, that was huge in China. You know this movie's going to be big. And you know it's going to do a lot of... And they have The Mummy this summer, too. And barring The Mummy being a total disaster, The Mummy's going to make money because it's got Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe.
Honestly, I think it looks pretty cool. It's not what I wanted. It's not really what I was like... I was kind of wanting it to be like this darker thing, but now that I kind of see what they're doing, I'm not mad about that, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Did you guys see the featurette or just the trailer?
I just saw the trailer.
The trailer.
Oh my God, you guys go watch the featurette, because I think it's exactly what you guys are wanting. The trailer doesn't make it look that way.
I'm hoping that Sophia Boutella is utilized really well as the mummy. She was obviously awesome in Kingsman, and she was awesome in Star Trek Beyond. So in this, I hope they don't waste her, and she has substance behind her, you know.
Oh, I'm hoping. They also have Despicable Me 3 this year. Universal's fine.
That's true.
Oh,
that's true.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think Grinch is this Christmas, isn't it? The Illumination animated Grinch. Is it next year? I thought.
Hang on, let me check.
I think you might be right. I'm getting a little confused, and so I couldn't remember. But either way, Universal's well off, and I'm very curious to see how this is all going to come together. And I think that the way 50 Shades is right now. Is what they
get. Sorry, guys.
Oh no, you're fine.
What were you talking about?
I was just saying, I think that the reason 50 Shades contracts can be the way they are and the way they treat this franchise is because they know the rest of the year it doesn't matter for them. Universal is going to have a $3 billion, $4 billion year probably, just with Minions and Fast, and this and Mummy and whatever else they have up their pipe.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to. Did we settle on the release date?
No.
Hang on.
I think you might be right. It may be next year, but I'm really not sure. Let me look. I'll look.
I'm trying. I'm trying to Google this.
And I know Benedict Cumberbatch is in it too, which is amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be pretty cool.
Hey guys, just ignore the phone.
Yeah, it's
just ignore the phone in the background.
They haven't even announced the rest of that cast yet. Now that I notice, but I mean, they'll be fine. And they've got another Minions coming out next year, I think, and another Secret Life of Pets around the corner, and Jurassic World and Universal. This is just a franchise to get them through the beginning of the year. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you have Secret Life of Pets in 2019, Minions in 2020, Sing 2 in Christmas 2020. So they're pretty, Universal's fine. Unlike other studios. So.
I mean, they have the next two Fast and Furious movies coming out already announced. So, honestly, just off of that, they're like.
Yeah. And they have 50 Shades Freed, which will probably get them, another $500 million. It's a box office.
Another $500, a little bit of spending money.
And again, barring the Mummy being a complete disaster. They've got all the Universal monster movies. Invisible Man's already announced. Wolfman with Dwayne Johnson still rumored to be a thing.
Right, and that should be – with Dwayne Johnson behind it, that should definitely make money.
And he's still doing his spy series over there, I think. Because he's working on – he's doing a series based on a Robert Ludlum novel over there. And that's at Universal too, because Universal's his home studio.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got a lot going on over there that they have that they can hang their hats on. And that's not forgetting, they have the Blumhouse over there. And
Kind of.
I mean, at least with The Purge and some of those.
Oh, The Purge. The Purge movies make money, too.
Yeah.
So,
that's where their money is. This is just them laughing to the bank.
Yeah, they're good. Don't worry, guys.
So, yeah, they're fine. So... So I really don't care about this 50 Shades phenomenon anymore. I mean, the trailers are always sort of decent. The movies are kind of competently shot. And other than that, I really don't care about the actors. This is a disaster franchise, and it should, and hopefully in the third movie ends, it'll be the last of it all, because apparently there's a whole other book that E.L. James wrote. From the perspective of Christian Grey,
they won't do that. There's no way.
Yeah,
that'd be weird.
I I'm so done with this franchise. I only actually saw the second movie in theaters. I Redboxed the first movie because I didn't really care.
Right.
And I couldn't get through the first movie. I still have not been able to get through the first movie. It is so boring.
Boring-ass
movie.
I mean, for me, first one is like, there's enough things in it that I was felt was, it wasn't the cinematography in the film, and I do really like the sound. I think Dakota Johnson does all right throughout the film, even though, because I think she is a very talented actor, somehow she was able to be pretty good in it. But the script is so bad, like it's just trash. I don't even have to say anything, but I thought I was like, when I left the movie, I was like, That was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I remember that was my reaction. I was like, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But and then I was just looking at the Rotten Tomatoes for it, and that one was at a 25%, and this one's at a 9%. So I don't know. Just going into this next one, I'm feeling like I might be going into it like, if it is that. I mean, you're saying you like this one a little bit more though, right?
I like it a little bit more because A, I made it through it, and they kind of throw away the whole contract negotiation subplot.
Weird stuff.
I mean, literally, Patrick, a lot of the first movie that I saw is basically contract negotiations.
It's contract negotiations too. Fuck, we have to make the second one.
Oh, man. I will say though, everyone looks good in the movie. Like, everyone's good looking, even though they're all horrible people. And I kind of understand why women like this. I understand why older women like it, because if you feel like you just want someone to take care of you all the time, then maybe Twilight. You know, where Twilight and Christian and this. Where Christian Grey and Edward Cullen basically take care of all your essential needs. You don't have to worry about anything. But the problem is these two properties misguide that, you know, ideology a lot by basically turning it into someone who is, by basically making the whole situation basically kind of terrifying. And it's so, for me, I think Twilight is the better franchise, but 50 Shades is completely fucked up and crazy. And you're right, Patrick. E.L. James is completely insane.
Genuinely like the first and last Twilight movies.
Jesus Christ, actually. Michael, don't say that out loud.
The first and last one.
I like the third movie. The third movie is pretty damn awesome.
It's
pretty good.
I mean, there's good stuff. For me, there's good stuff in all of them.
At least their style, like, and David Slade knows how to direct horror.
See, the only one that I kind of I like David Slade doing the third one because he shot it on 70mm, which is amazing.
Oh, that's he did? Not
what it, yes.
Really? I didn't know that.
Shot it on film. It was the only one shot on film. I kind of watched the first one. If it's ever on, and if someone makes me watch it, I'll watch the first one because it's directed by Catherine Hardwick, because I love Lords of Dogtown, and that movie doesn't get enough love. If any of you listening have not seen Lords of Dogtown, now is a perfect time to see it. That movie is phenomenal.
Is that Andy's favorite movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive, isn't it? It's one of them.
Yeah.
But like, Lords of Dogtown is a fantastic movie that no one saw, and it was the reason she ended up getting Twilight. And it's a bummer that not more people saw it, because it's such an interesting moment in time to capture on film, because it was a very defining time for sports and a whole way of life in Los Angeles, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and David Fincher was the executive producer on that movie.
On Lords of Dogtown?
Yeah, I think. I know he produced one of Catherine Hardwick's movies.
Not Twilight.
not Twilight.
Yeah, definitely not.
Nah.
But I
love
Lords of Dogtown.
All right. I mean, I really don't care about Catherine Hardwicke a lot because I've only seen Twilight and that movie's okay. But really, Eclipse is the one that's really the good one, and the New Moon is completely rushed.
New Moon is weird. It's really weird the way it's paced. I like how we're having a Twilight conversation now. But I think New Moon's my least favorite one. Like, it's just odd to me.
My least favorite is all of them because I have a black heart and I don't like things.
It's okay. It's okay to hate on Twilight. It really is. It's just, I always like to mention Eclipse because it's actually the most interesting one of the five movies.
Where's Diego when I need him to talk?
No.
Good things about Kristen Stewart movies.
No. And I like. And here's the thing.
Yeah, she's great.
I don't want to trash those. Good movies. I don't want to trash those movies because I totally get that there is a fan base that loves them. And that's, I don't want to trash those, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings if they like them, because they have every right to. If they like Twilight, fantastic. Like, I am glad it's for someone, that even if it isn't for me. But, like, I just, those are not my vampires. My vampires are, you know, Gary Oldman and anything that was written.
Not my vampire.
Right. You know, like, Bela Lugosi, those are my vampires. My vampires don't sparkle. They just don't. And that's cool if yours do. But mine kill people. And they drink people's blood. And they're scary. And that's what vampires are to me. And Twilight just romanticizes it in a way that I just can't get behind. And I hate the franchise more because it gave us 50 Shades than I actually hate the franchise itself.
Have you guys, yeah. Speaking of Catherine Hardwicke, have you guys seen 13 with Evan Rachel Wood and Nikki Reed?
Movie.
Yeah. No. It's really great. Check it out. Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll check it out. So my final question about 50 Shades is why should we continue? Why should anyone really continue to care?
No. Like,
should we really take this seriously? Or should we just let the third one happen and then just let it die in obscurity?
I mean, yeah, if you want to care about it, like, go for it. Like, I mean, it's not hurting anyone to like the movie. If you want to like the movie, like, go for it by all means. Like, if you get joy out of it, that's good for you. I mean, I personally, like, it's in theaters right now and I still haven't seen it. Like I said, I'm going to see it eventually. I don't know when, but I'll see it just because I feel like I just want to see. I just want to see what happens in it. It's whatever.
This franchise is literally made for one person, and that's our friend Ryan McLean, who I need to give a shout out to.
I know. I wish I could get him on here, but I wish I could get him on here.
Well, I just, like, honest to God, like, God bless him for loving these movies, man. And if it's only made for him, then fantastic. Like, Ryan, this is for you. Universal listened, and they made three movies that cost like $50 million just for you, man. And I am happy for
you. I will say, though, I feel bad for Ryan because, and yes, I know who you guys are talking about, but I feel bad for Ryan. But again, Jamie Dornan does not show his dick.
Yeah, well, he tried, apparently, and the director said no.
Yeah, what was up with that? Like, what?
I have no idea.
Wow.
That's not what I've heard. I heard he backed out at the last minute.
Well, I didn't hear that one. I thought he said he was totally down to do it, and they said no.
That's what I heard. I heard the studio said no to him. That's everything I'd been hearing was that he was like, I'll do it. I'll completely do it. And the studio was like, nah, I think we're good. And all I could think is this really – if what Mike and I have heard is true versus what Kale has heard, is that really where we're drawing the line in a movie like this?
It makes no sense. It makes no sense, honestly, that they would – like, because you see, at least in the first one, you see, like, Dakota Johnson goes, like, fully nude. Like, she's completely naked.
Oh, yeah,
in
you
the
don't
movie,
see her vagina at all. You don't see her vagina at all.
You don't?
You don't see her vagina, nor do you see, you may see a couple shots of her ass, but really, it's just her tits and his ass.
Okay, well, I was thinking that, I don't know, but, like, so if they're just trying to stay away from that so they don't get they're trying to stay on the R rating, maybe is what they're trying to do.
Maybe.
Yeah, this is more soap opera than porn.
Yeah, but okay, even Jason, if we're going to be honest, Jason Segel showed his dick in Forgetting Sarah Marshall and got an R rating.
Yeah,
that's true.
And that was, what, a five-minute sequence?
Walking around like that. Dude, I mean, come on. Watchmen had a big dude walking around just letting it hang out. And so, I don't know. It just seems funny to me that Universal's like, no, I think we're good. Show your penis.
Yeah, to be fair, in this movie, they do fuck every 10 minutes.
Every 10 minutes?
I mean, literally. Yeah, every 10 to 15 minutes, they literally fuck. Even if it has nothing to do with the scene at all, they just start fucking.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Is when Kevin Smith was telling the story about when he was writing the Green Hornet movie the Superman movie, and the execs were like, just remember, every 10 pages, you need to have an action beat. That sounds like exactly that kind of thing. Okay, guys, every 10 pages, we need to have them having sex.
Yeah.
Because reasons.
Yeah, and what's even worse is the sex scenes, like, literally just end abruptly to the next scene.
Of course they do.
That's what's even weirder. I'm not saying they have to. What do you want them to do?
Like roll over and like hanging out and staying in bed? Like what do you want? Yeah,
they just show them getting the shower afterwards?
I mean,
they literally just in the middle of a sex scene just cut to the next scene and not it's choppy in that way.
Okay.
Like it's just a transition. I don't need to see them climax or roll in bed and have like a cigarettes and beer. I just need the beer. I just needed a little better transitions because the scenes that come afterwards are just like
everyone knows all good sex ends with cigarettes and beer.
All I know is Kevin Smith needs to save us with Jay and Silent Bob reboot at this point because Jesus Christ, Hollywood is dead.
Yeah, so are you guys ready to talk about John Wick?
Yes.
Yes, please, for the love of God.
The real porn, the real gun porn.
The real greatness that is an actual franchise happening in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, so since everyone here has actually seen the movie. There
we go. Office, we wanted to welcome the new fiction editor. We could
live. I bought it for us. I should have asked you first.
I love it. Oh my God. Christian.
This is Giamatteo, the architect.
This location is perfect. I'm going to build you a fabulous house.
Please stop speaking of my husband as if I weren't here.
Anna.
You may call me Mrs.